Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Calling an audible. Here's what we're going to do at 12:45. It would normally be 1:45. At 12:45, we're going to go what I need to know. Taking a look around the NFL at 12:30. Scott Servais gets us started with the dugout at 1 p.m. Before all of that, we're heading to the station for Hype Train. Here we go. All right, here's how it works. I tell you a trend, a prediction in the world of sports this week. If you agree, you're boarding the train and you tell me why. If not, you also got to tell me why. But it's nothing but a hype train. You're not boarding that thing. So we're all at the station. First train in is this. The Miami Dolphins are one of just two teams currently 3-0 after a great win. Surprising win, but a great win over fellow AFC East divisional foes, the Buffalo Bills. Now, what was it for the Dolphins that's led to them being undefeated? Could it be a turnaround for Tua Tagovailoa and a make-or-break year? Could it be a new head coach, Mike McDaniel, coming from a really brilliant offensive scheme in San Francisco? No. Here's the hype train telling me if you're boarding. Tyreek Hill is the biggest reason the Dolphins are undefeated.
Tyreek Hill has done some things for the Miami Dolphins, but you know what he isn't? He's not even the leading receiver on this team right now. It's still Waddle. Waddle has his two more catches, a few more yards. They're both around 300-something and one more touchdown. You look at Tua, and you're saying, okay, he's starting to evolve. 71% completion rate, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but I'm not going to board the train. I think it's a combination of things, but I think getting a new head coach in there who understands how to run an offense is the biggest reason why. Now, you got to have the weapons to do it. It's great getting Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. It's great having Waddle already. You have Gesicki, the tight end, over there. The run game hasn't even really gotten going yet. You got Chase Edmonds with 79 yards, Mostert with 78. But I think you can have talent, but if you don't know what to do with it, it's just a waste. So I'm looking at the head coach. I'm not on that train. I think Tyreek Hill plays a huge role in this, but I'm looking at the guy calling the plays.
All right. The hype train is that Tyreek Hill is the biggest reason the Dolphins are undefeated. Bump says, I gotta go with the head coach. What do you think, Curtis?
Tyreek Hill has added another layer to that offense in Miami, but the guy who has been able to unlock it all is Mike McDaniel, their head coach. He has been able to put Tua on a trajectory that I don't think a lot of people thought he was capable of doing. I don't think a lot of NFL analysts thought Tua had this within himself to be this kind of quarterback. He is putting up staggering numbers to start this season. I think it is Mike McDaniel pressing all the right buttons offensively for this team. Tyreek Hill is a tremendous receiver, one of the most dangerous playmakers in all of football. But right now it is Mike McDaniel who has been able to kind of keep things together. And by the way, look at the 49ers offense without Mike McDaniel as their offensive coordinator. You're telling me that he didn't have any kind of impact in San Francisco? Like, 49ers have not been able to move the ball all that effectively this season. Meanwhile, Miami is scoring at will. I think McDaniel is the earliest candidate for coach of the year.
Wow. You guys might have swayed me. I was going to say yes. I was obviously I was watching the game a little bit Sunday, and I just remember thinking we had had a hype train that Tyreek Hill wasn't going to be as explosive in Miami, right? The idea being that without Patrick Mahomes, yes, he's one of the fastest, if not the fastest wide receiver in football. But does Tua have the same arm as Mahomes to take advantage of that speed? So far, the answer's been yes. Not only that, but it's also opened up things for Jalen Waddle, right? So I think his presence giving every other receiver a few more looks because of the double teams that he's going to get has inadvertently made this an explosive offense. It's not fair, but I got to say yes to Tyreek Hill. I think he is the biggest offseason acquisition for them and the biggest reason that their offense is leading them to an undefeated record.
You know, Waddle.
Curtis, where's my horn?
Here we go.
Waddle was a 1,000-yard receiver last year, too, quietly. I had to look that up.
He's a
1,000-yard receiver. So, yeah, man, it's either way you put it, that offense is deadly right now.
All right, next hype train into the station. The Mariners are back in action. You heard me say it all day long during the snapshot. 10 games to play in 9 days. No more off days. No more road games. Every game is at home, which means you got to get it done at T-Mobile with a chance to clinch a playoff spot in front of Mariners fans in Seattle. Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. The Mariners get a sweep of the Rangers to get back on track in their push for the playoffs.
Now, I want to board this. I truly do. But I'm going off of history. And every time that I've boarded this particular train, they did not do that. So I'm going to go with what works, like wearing teal on Tuesdays. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say no, they don't, in hopes that reverse psychology.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm playing the game.
Like a reverse jinx.
Yeah, I'm playing the game. I'm going, no, I'm not on this one.
Okay. Curtis, the hype train is that the Mariners get back on track with a sweep of the Rangers, obviously, beginning tonight.
Boy, they need it in the worst way. Just for building confidence going forward. You look at these two teams on paper, the Mariners are far and away the better of the two teams. You've got who is even on the mound for Texas tonight? It's somebody who I think has made like one or two starts in their major league career. You've got Robbie Ray going for the Mariners. Like, everything points towards the Mariners winning. Now, unfortunately, everything has pointed towards the Mariners winning the last, like, 2 weeks, and that has not really gotten the case. Jesus Tinoco is on the mound for the Rangers, making his first start of the season.
Oh, okay. Well,
he has 15 innings pitched.
I mean,
unfortunately, this is the kind of pitcher that dominates the Mariners.
Yeah, this is the Spencer Turnbull type no-hitter that comes. Stop it. Actually, Curtis, turn this around.
Even with all that being said, I think the Mariners do get a sweep of the Rangers. I think they get back on track.
Okay.
I think after this Rangers series with a Mariners sweep, it puts their magic number at least 3. I think it gets down to 1 after this Rangers series.
Ooh.
And they clinch a postseason berth against the Oakland A's this weekend.
Extra credit.
Ooh.
Curtis with the extra credit.
Of course. I'm obviously going to say yes. Of course I do. Because every time I do this in Hype Train, I end up saying yes, they're going to sweep. And I think that they're going to sweep this time. The Rangers are not a good team. The Mariners are going to get the energy they need at home. Hopefully, knock on wood, you get Gino Suarez back in this one as DH. Do I think that he's going to be at 100%? No. That's a very quick return. But I think it helps. Every little bit helps. I also have a lot of faith in the starting rotation and in the bullpen. And they were the biggest reason behind that collapse in Kansas City, right? So I feel a lot better knowing the biggest reason for the collapse has also been the thing that's usually most consistent for you. I think they can get back on track tonight. And also, importantly, we're all wearing teal now. So I kind of like sealed the deal.
Well, if you look at the screen, it does look like you're wearing blue.
I know, but it's because there's a light directly over me and there's no light
above
you.
Can confirm it is teal.
It is teal,
like,
though.
Yeah. I'm viewing you with my own eyes.
There's no light directly above Bump's seat. So on the SeattleSports.com/video. It looks like I am wearing like a carnation blue and that Bump is following the rules and wearing teal, but I'm wearing teal. It is teal. I promise it's teal. I'm doing this right. The Mariners are winning tonight because Teal Tuesday magic is alive. Next hype train. All right. The San Francisco 49ers defense on display. Now, it was a loss against the Denver Broncos because of a last-minute drive by Russell Wilson. Pretty much the only drive that either quarterback looked especially good. So that ended up saving the day. But really, what won the Broncos that game was their defense. And what kept the 49ers in that game was also their defense. But the 49ers looking pretty solid to start the season. Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. San Francisco will finish with a better record than the Rams.
Now, if you were to ask me a week ago when the Seahawks lost to the 49ers and looking at the way Jimmy came in, tossed a touchdown, drove down the field, quarterback sneak, defense played well, I would say, you know what, maybe they have a chance. But after seeing the way they looked against the Denver Broncos, pretty good defense. Jimmy did not look the same. Nice little turnover. I'm going to say that the Rams have enough to win this division still. I just look at the roster and the weapons that they have. I believe in Matthew Stafford. He's going to throw his interceptions, but he's also going to throw a bunch of touchdowns. They got to get their run game going. You still got Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
Higbee needs to get going a little bit. I think just overall, they are the better team. Defensively, I think the 49ers is the better team. But you're going to have to ask Jimmy to win some ball games, and that is just not what he does. I've only seen a game and a quarter, a game and a third
of
Jimmy G. And he hasn't done enough yet to make me think that he can be that guy again. He'll run the offense, They'll take care of the ball for the most part. But at some point, you got to be explosive. They have the better defense, but overall, I'm still riding with the Rams.
All right. Now, keep in mind, Curtis, the Rams already have the upper hand here, given that San Francisco is just 1-2 on the season after their loss to Denver. This is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. The 49ers will finish with a better record than the Rams. Bump says, nah, I can see areas where the 49ers are a better team, but I can't look away from the talent the Rams have, especially on offense.
I am not going to board this train. I think the Rams are better than the 49ers at the end of the day. And we're going to see these two teams face off, what, Monday night coming up next week? In San Francisco, I believe that is the next Monday night game.
San Francisco has had Sean McVay's number. This weird kind of like... But Seattle always beat San Francisco.
They didn't in the NFC Championship game last
year. Yeah, that's true. Well, but part of that's because the difference at quarterback was the biggest deciding factor in that game.
Yes, and those two quarterbacks are still starting quarterbacks for these two teams.
Yes, correct.
I am going to say the Rams get the better of the 49ers on Monday, putting them two games up on San Francisco after week four, which would mean LA's 3-1. San Francisco's off to a 1-3 start. That would not be good for a lot of those people in San Francisco who are making postseason plans at the beginning of the year. Gotta wonder, like, if San Francisco misses the playoffs this year, like, does Kyle Shanahan get put on the hot seat at all?
Well, no, because I think that there's an easy scapegoat, which is one, injuries. I mean, Elijah Mitchell, he's out again, right? Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel's fine, but there was a scary moment where he was hurt on a Sunday night. And also, I think that there's just so much praise for what Kyle Shanahan's been able to do. And the defense has been really solid. I think that there's enough blame to just place exactly. We don't have the right quarterback.
Yeah, they don't have their guy. Kyle Shanahan can say, going into the season, I prepared this offense for Trey Lance. Yes, we can get it done with Jimmy Garoppolo, but we've shown he can only take us so far. Mm-hmm. So let me start all over with a potential franchise quarterback in Trey Lance. And I think people respect his play calling so much in this league that he will get more opportunities than the average OC.
Oh, the 253 pointing out Trent Williams injured for the Niners, too.
Yeah.
Yes, that's huge. Yep. That's huge. I think right now it's like that time of the year where there hasn't been enough ground lost or separation with good teams from great teams. And I think that the Rams and 49ers are either one of the two. They could both be good teams. They could both be great teams. Or one could be good and one could be great.
Yeah.
And I think so this is the time for like, this is like hot take season, right? You've seen just enough without having anything be proven wrong yet.
Yep.
So I think this is exactly the time when people say stuff like the 49ers are going to win the division. But I don't think so either. I think I can't look away from the difference at quarterback. I also can't look away from having Cooper Kupp. And from the 49ers continuing to suffer some injuries.
Jimmy just got to get in the groove. If Jimmy gets in the groove
and
George Kittle stays healthy, Debo's healthy, Brandon Ayuk, I think, is the key to this, actually, because he hasn't been a disappointment over the last couple of years, but he hasn't performed to the expectations. He is one of the most athletic receivers out there. Obviously, you got Debo over there. But you look at the way, look at his route running and run after catch. Brandon Ayuk is special.
All right. That will do it for Hype Train today. Taking a look around the NFL coming up in 15 minutes. First, let's get to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, in addition to running back DeAndre Swift likely missing Sunday's game against the Seahawks, Lions star receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown's ankle injury may keep him out as well. What's the real headline?
Seahawks are running out of reasons to not win this one.
Yeah, you can look at it that way. Or you can look at it as, look, the Seahawks have so much that they're trying to accomplish and fix on their team that you don't even worry about who's going to line up, who's going to be over there for the Detroit Lions. But yeah, when you lose Williams, you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's not going to be there, it sounds like. The chances of them winning go up, but this is the NFL. Dan Campbell's done a great job over there with that team. He's the darling of the NFL. The Detroit Lions are the darling of the NFL this year. You never know. This is the NFL, but it's looking better for those Seahawks. Just take care of business. Worry about you, not about them.
Yeah, I will say, the two biggest offensive weapons for the Lions are not much better than the Seahawks against the run. They're giving up 147 yards per game, Seattle giving up 157 yards per game, and honestly, it could be more had Denver chosen to roll with Javonte Williams a little bit more, which both you and I think they should have.
Mm-hmm.
I am not looking at this one the way I would have in years past, right? Where you're like, done, win, great. Then who's after that? This is a... The Lions are not making winning easy for their opponents this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it will be the case for Seattle.
It's a different team. Seahawks are a different team. They're like a bottom tier team right now. Let's be real. They're a bottom tier team. So teams like the Lions and Chicago and the Jets, like, you are fighting. You're throwing hands with these teams.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, last night on Monday Night Football, we saw the Cowboys win their second straight game without Dak Prescott, beating the previously undefeated Giants. What's the real headline?
Are we on Dak is washed watch? That's right. Are we? Do we have a quarterback controversy happening in Dallas?
Did you guys see that Dak Prescott looks like he's going to try and rush back within like a couple weeks? Like, this is following the exact same timeline as Russell Wilson's injury a year ago, where it looks like, oh, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Like, this is the end of their season. And then, like, Russ comes out. I was like, no, I'm back in 3 weeks. And then Dak Prescott, it says basically the same exact thing. Like, I'm going to be back in, like, 2-3 weeks here. It's like, what? No. You're not going to be 100% when you come back, Dak.
No.
And if you're the Cowboys, you're winning without him. Like, what is there to gain by putting Dak Prescott out there injured over Cooper Rush, who's been getting the job done?
Well, and importantly, I don't know that Dallas would do this, but Seattle ran into a situation where he put Russell Wilson out against Green Bay. One of his worst games as a pro. He looked awful. He played horribly. He was not ready to be back and probably cost them in that game, which they were, I believe, shut out, if I remember correctly. But you can't bench him. You can't say, all right, you know, go rest up again. You can't do it. So once you put him out there, you have to stick with him. Make sure he's 100%.
If Dak is able to go, you put him out there.
That's the thing, but you can't take him back.
Yeah, yeah. And that's your guy. You paid him all that money. He wants to be out there. You put him out there. Cooper Rush has played a couple of solid games against Cincinnati and the New York Giants. Good for you, sir. You got the Commanders coming up next. He'll probably look decent against them. Good for you. Then after that, you got the Rams, you got Philly, and you got Detroit. We'll see what they look like. If Dak is ready to go, you got to roll the dice with him. Big ups to Cooper Rush, though, but you pay that man all that money, you want to see him out there.
Texter, Dak has always been trashed. What's he ever done? Dak is a good quarterback. Like, I think that he's suffered.
Tripping.
Yeah, I think he's suffered from what all of those, like, you could be top 10, but not really quarterbacks suffer from. Same with Matthew Stafford. Russell Wilson's fallen into this more recently as opposed to earlier in his career, where he was certainly a top 10 to a lot of people, top 5 quarterback, which is, you are clearly a franchise quarterback. Kyler Murray's in this category, right? You're the franchise quarterback, but are you always going to come back and win a game? Are you going to be the clutch guy more often, far more often than not? Like, these guys can still make costly mistakes and can still not have that game-winning drive. Like, they're way better than the average quarterback and average starter.
Mm-hmm.
But are they Tom Brady? Are they Aaron Rodgers?
No, that's the thing, because everyone compares quarterbacks to that, which you should. Those are the best, right? The elite of the elite. But when you have a solid quarterback who's going to give you a chance to get into the playoffs and win some games, got to ride with him.
Question. How much did Tom Brady shape our perception of what a quarterback should be able to offer a
team? Tom Brady messed it up for everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Thank you, Tom Brady. So much pressure on these quarterbacks to win.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, I mean, we're not going to see another Tom Brady for a very long time.
Well, and that's the thing.
Seven rings?
Seven rings.
Seven.
And
we're not going to see that.
And we throw Aaron Rodgers in there because truly, like, pure skill, Aaron Rodgers does deserve to be there. But winning-wise, he's got one Super Bowl.
He's got one.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's this unreal expectation, which is crazy.
That's why when Jordan was on everyone's, who's the next Jordan? Like, you're not.
No
gonna,
one. It's never going to happen.
He's Jordan. That's it.
Next up.
Headline rewrite.
Headline number three. Davante Adams is reportedly frustrated and angry with his new situation with the 0-3 Raiders. Hmm. What's the real headline?
Turns out the situation is just playing with Derek Carr. That's it.
You mean top 5 quarterback of all time, Derek
Carr?
Yeah,
you mean potentially passing leader in 2022, Derek Carr. Derek Carr is another one of those quarterbacks, by the way. Like, he's better than people give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Is he good enough to fix Vegas's mistakes by himself? No. What's weird, though, I still contend that they are the best 0-3 team. Yeah, they're the only 0-3 team, but they are a lot better than their record. They've run into some
bad
luck.
And that's why they're not a bottom power ranking team, in your opinion. They're 0-3.
I have more faith in the Raiders to turn it around than I do in Chicago and Houston. Frankly, like, Seattle's going to struggle.
You're only as good as your record. You're not as good as your stats. You
are only
as good as your record.
So you're telling me that the Bears are a better team than the 49ers?
Right now, the Bears are a better team than the 49ers.
No, Bump, you don't believe
They're
that.
They're 2-1.
The Bears are a better team than the 49ers, who are like almost last in defense, last in offense.
The Bears are 2-1. They beat the 49ers.
You don't
believe that. You can't. I get your perspective, but what's your record? I don't care if you have all the potential in the world. You got all these players. Did you win the game? The Bears played in the same monsoon you played in. Now, would you beat them right now? Probably. But right now, you are 1-2, and they are 2-1.
The Giants were a couple plays away from being 3-0 to start the season.
They were. They're as good as their record. They beat the teams that they play. They beat the teams that they play.
But
do they have more talent other places? Yes. But you are your record.
You don't ever think teams are better than their record?
I think they have more talent than their record shows, that they should probably be something else. But what's the deciding factor of who makes it to the playoffs and who not? It's your record.
Yeah.
More talented teams, 100% agree with you. Will the Chicago Bears be a good team later? Probably not.
Yeah.
Will the Raiders turn it around? I would bank on it. But them boys is 3-0. Or 0-3, sorry.
I'll say the situation with Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers is becoming increasingly clear that they were better together. Aaron Rodgers has not found a way to replace him. These receivers are dropping passes. I mean, they've turned it around, right? They were able to bounce back from an ugly week one, just like they did last year. I don't think anyone's overly worried about the Packers without Devontae Adams. But still, there's a notable difference in Rodgers without Adams and in Adams without Rodgers.
Rodgers makes everyone better, especially when you have the best receiver in the game on your team.
All right. Someone's saying I'm wrong. I'm not. I refuse to believe I'm wrong. I refuse to believe it. Okay. It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and SeattleSports.com. Taking a look around the NFL next. Before we get to what I need to know, you can send your questions in now, though. Any question you have to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, taking a look around the NFL, and we're going to start with another person's power rankings. Dan Hansis of the Around the NFL podcast has a number one team that is not one either you, Bump, or I mentioned. You said the Miami Dolphins. I said the Buffalo Bills. Bills are 2. Dolphins are 3. Dolphins up 5, by the way. Bills down 1. A new number one is on the list. You want to guess?
Philly.
It is the Philadelphia Eagles. Dan Hansis said Philadelphia is a big green wrecking machine right now. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense has been showing out since the season opener in Detroit, but now the defense has bounced back.
Defense is doing its thing. You look at the numbers with these guys. They got two really good receivers over there in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, former Heisman Trophy winner. Jalen Hurts, getting her done, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, but it's his mobility too, right? He has 3 rushing touchdowns as well. You add that defense in there, you got Miles Sanders. Like, they are one of the most balanced teams in the NFL. And then don't forget Darius Slay, who has 2 interceptions, probably have 4, dropped a couple against the Minnesota Vikings.
Now, we were debating who are the worst of the worst. He has Chicago, which I said Chicago and Houston. You said Houston and Chicago, though you were giving Chicago credit for at least being 2-1.
Yeah.
He has them at 27, Seahawks at 28.
Man.
Panthers are in there at 29, Washington 30, Jets 31, and of course at 32, the Houston Texans. Tough being a Houston Texans fan, man.
When did they
several years.
I mean, when Schwab was there, they were decent, right?
Yeah, they made a deep playoff push. Yeah. Still haven't won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Or, I believe, been to a Super Bowl as the iteration of the Texans and not the... I don't know if the Oilers were. I don't know. But
the Oilers, the Titans, who are they?
The Titans
Texans?
Have been...
Yeah, they went against the Rams.
Well, didn't the Rams beat them? Or did they? Oh, they did.
Rams beat the... Yeah, that was the Rams' first run at that thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could see the Eagles. They're a team I completely forgot about, but I digress. Completely forgot about as a number one team. I didn't give them enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
I like the argument. All right. The Bengals are debuting their all-white uniforms Thursday night against the undefeated Miami Dolphins. It's not like technically all white. It's just there's no orange. There's still the tiger stripes.
Clean.
I like it. Very Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the tiger people?
I think so. It sounds right.
Curtis, are those people?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Sounds right. Let's go with it.
They're really clean, man.
Would they bring out an albino tiger, too? I'm sure that's probably cruelty to animals. It can't probably.
I mean,
can't do
I guess,
that, right?
But if you know what's up, if you want to talk about entertainment,
LSU has a live tiger right by the visiting team tunnel.
They still have him?
I think so. His name's Mike the Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But that's Louisiana.
That's very weird, though.
Different in the bayou.
Yeah. Well, and it's very weird that they have just a tiger as like a prop. Here's a real tiger.
That's a big cage. I went on my recruiting trip. They took me over to see the tiger. He was there, you saw him? Yeah, it's about as big as this room.
Oh, that's not enough space for a tiger.
It's not. It's probably huge now. You would hope.
You would hope so. All right, let's get to that debate that we were having earlier in four down territory, since I don't think we're going to be able to get back to it. Sterling Shepard suffered a season-ending torn ACL on a non-contact injury. Just crumpled into a ball, went down in the final minutes of last night's game against the Dallas Cowboys. It was a loss for the Giants, a win for Dallas, which leaves only two undefeated teams. The bigger story to come out of it, though, is the end to the season for Shepard, and now a debate between grass versus turf.
I'm grass all day. I mentioned earlier Auburn had the greatest grass I've ever played in my life. In California, all we do is play on grass. It turned into dirt halfway through the season. Now everything is turf. If you are a field player, right, if you play hockey, baseball, football, text us in and let us know what you think. Like, what do you prefer?
Yeah.
And to me, there's nothing like pretty grass to me. Opening day at T-Mobile, that thing looks so pretty. The different shades of grass. And I don't know, I'm a grass guy for life.
All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to practice in Miami this week because of the threat of Hurricane Ian. Tom Brady said that nothing's going to be an excuse to not prep right for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a Sunday night matchup. I'm looking forward to that one.
That's going to be a good one. Have you seen the promos for that game yet?
No, but I'm sure it's all over the place.
It's pretty cool. I forgot the song that's being played, but they're comparing old man Brady to Pat Mahomes. It's pretty cool. Check it out.
Is there any other person that's going to come interrupt that wonderful duo and say, wait a minute, maybe I'm the GOAT?
I mean, Josh Allen is right there.
That's what I'm saying.
He's the only one really competing with him right now.
Josh Allen is leading the league in, I think he already has 1,000 passing yards through three games.
He does.
Which is a ridiculous pace. I don't think he's going to keep that up, because you're not going to have as much time of possession. You're not going to have 40 minutes of possession the way you did against Miami.
He's got 1,000. Tua's right behind him at 925.
Tua's got 925.
Look at his top five when it comes to passing yards. You got Josh Allen number one, Tua number two, Jalen Hurts number three, Herbert number four, 85.
Joe Flacco number five.
Let's get it. Come on.
God, Joe Flacco, man.
And this is with Aaron Rodgers in the league, Tom Brady is still in the league, Pat Mahomes in the league. They're not even the top five in passing yards.
I'm very surprised to see Joe Flacco there, but congratulations, Joe.
Here you go, Joe.
Rooting for you, buddy. Rooting for a fellow 80s baby. All right. Moving on. Mac Jones will confirm miss a couple weeks for the Patriots. I did think that injury, I was worried it would be like a really, really significant leg injury. I think that they dodged a bullet getting away with just a high ankle sprain. Obviously, they're going to see the extent of the damage with additional imaging. But it sounds like they will still get him back. Question is, though, the powers that be in the AFC East now completely tilted in favor of Buffalo and Miami.
Do you see
the Patriots getting into the playoffs as a wild card?
Possibly. It all depends on Mac Jones, right? The thing with that Tom Brady did that they're going to ask Mac Jones to do is do a lot with a little. And Mac Jones, he has a high ankle sprain. If you were a mobile quarterback, you relied on your mobility, I think he'd be out a bit longer. But because he's a pocket passer, he can stand in there, get rid of it. He should be back and be doing okay. But that you're asking a lot for a second-year guy to compete with Josh Allen, Tua, and his weapons. Like, it's hard over there, man.
You know what we didn't talk about in yesterday's NFL headlines was the decision by the Chargers to keep Justin Herbert in the game through the game, even though they were absolutely going to lose that one. They were just throttled by the Jags. They've since lost their starting left tackle, Rashawn Slater, to a torn biceps. He's out for the season. Joey Bosa, week to week, they got banged up and were banged up entering that game. The Chargers can never escape bad injury luck. That being said, when do you know when to pull a quarterback? Like, if you're in that game and you are Brandon Staley, head coach of the Chargers, do you take Justin Herbert out when it's 38-10?
Yes. And as soon as he's wincing, when he's throwing the football, that's your franchise quarterback. You want to keep him here for the long run. Now, I understand back in our day, it's like, look, suck it up, rub some dirt on it, let's get out there and play. But these guys are getting paid way more money. And we know too much about the body, man. Just take care of the kid. That was rough to watch. I'm like, pull him.
Get him out of there. Well, it was like the big debate that was happening with people is there's kind of this, like, I don't want to say old school. It's a very prevalent football mentality. Football is an incredibly physical, incredibly demanding sport. You're well familiar with this. You've been concussed and been like, hey, get back out there. Mm-hmm. Like, keep going. And I think that now the importance of quarterbacks has changed that. And also just our general understanding of head injuries has changed that.
Yeah, and people's opinions are louder than ever these days. So everything you do is going to be criticized to the max. And just the whole, everyone's thinking of the body in the game, trying to make it less violent, take care of these guys. It's different, man. You just go back 10, 15 years, they would have been like,
different
he's
world.
A warrior.
Yeah.
Look at him out there.
There are still people that think that about him. I mean, I think it was really tough to stay out there. Credit him for that, but it's just not worth. That position has become too valuable to teams, and Herbert in particular too valuable to the Chargers to do it.
Yeah.
It's just football is different now when it comes to that position in particular.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap up Bump and Stacey with What I Need to Know, but we're not going anywhere. We're going to stick around for The Dugout. It is all Mariners from 1 to 2, beginning with the Scott Service Show. We need your questions for What I Need to Know. That's coming your way next, 866-979-3776.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, it's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in now. Any question to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Starting with this from the 425, What I Need to Know, win 2K. When you go to a Thai restaurant, how many stars do you order?
Just learn what the heck you guys are talking about with stars. I don't eat Thai enough, but it's the spiciness of the food. I'd say I can handle a 3 or 4.
Out of 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can handle some spiciness.
I usually go 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Depending on what I order. Like, I find that green curry is kind of sweet, so I'll do like 4 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
I thought we were talking about like Yelp ratings and stuff.
Yeah.
No. I only give them a 3.
Curtis, what about you?
3 is kind of, I think, a good jumping off point. My wife doesn't really like Thai food, so if I do have Thai, I'm eating it by myself, so I can kind of do whatever I want with it. Yeah, 3 stars is kind of my sweet spot.
That's a solid one. From the 253, What I Need to Know, I'm going to my first Mariners game on Friday. Oh, that's awesome. Is that the day they're going to clinch their playoff berth?
When's the soonest they can do it?
Well, they could do it if they win their next 3 and Baltimore loses. Baltimore loses their next 3.
So hypothetically,
Thursday
today,
they could do it.
Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. Thursday night. Thursday's game or Friday's game are possible.
I'm going to say Friday because I think I'm going to be there too on Friday. So I want to see it go down.
I think I'm going to go Friday and Saturday and see what happens.
Hey.
Well, I said in Hype Train it's going to happen Friday, so.
Well,
as a man
253, we got to say yeah. All right. Yeah. Good luck. Have fun at that one.
Just go to all the games. You got a great chance.
Yeah,
to see
exactly. It. Exactly. I have, from the 360, What I Need to Know, I have a question about the recent calls concerning an eligible man downfield. How many yards can an offensive lineman go downfield before a penalty?
It's ridiculous. It's 2 yards down the field.
2?
2 yards, but
offensive linemen are like 2 yards wide.
If you're blocking your guy real good, just moving him back.
That's the thing. As long as you're engaged, you can drive him down the field. But as soon as you let go, then you're considered downfield and you are ineligible. That's what happened with Abe Lucas.
Stupid.
I was having with Abe.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Bump from the 425. What is your least favorite route to run and why? Interesting they didn't ask me or Curtis.
Least favorite route to run? I would say,
what about like back-to-back-to-back go routes?
An arrow.
What's an arrow?
So an arrow is like, okay, if I'm
just
in the slot to the right side.
Yeah,
of course you guys
we
know
just call it. We call it something else. We call it an anchor.
You just aim, you go straight to the sidelines at a 5-yard angle, like at a 45 degree.
Yeah.
And typically when I used to run that route, I'm just getting the slant outside of me open because I'm pulling that flat defender and he's getting open.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a dummy route. You could get it.
It's a dummy route.
It's a dummy route. We actually have what we call the follow route.
Uh-huh.
It's where you start actually shadowing the corner wherever he goes.
Oh.
Yeah, and the corner's like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to cover you.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going
and
on?
It confuses him so much that the second he kind of stops and looks at you, you run to the middle of the field, and then that's what
we
call.
And he's just like, I don't know what's going on.
We call it a follow route.
Follow.
We have we have what we call a spoon route, which is where you go, it's like an out route, but then it becomes an in route. But then you circle back around, and it becomes like a comeback, and then you go back, and it's just a full circle.
That one was more of Stacy's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
She's quick, right? Yeah, she makes it happen real fast.
It's like if you could imagine a jet sweep, but it takes maybe 5 or 6 full seconds to be able to have the ball snap to you.
Great offensive
line. So you got to have great pass pro
for
the spoon route.
That's one of the best.
Yeah, that's just fine. Okay. What I need to know, speaking up from the 253, Stacy and Curtis, how many coaches do you have at your camps?
The number varies based on availability. this time of year, you know, everybody's so busy coaching their own teams that, you know, coaching numbers may be down, but when you've got me and Stacy running the whole
thing, we kind of count as like at least 12 coaches apiece.
Yeah. Like,
no.
The amount of experience, the amount of tape that we grind on a daily.
Oh, dude, so much tape.
Yeah.
Dude.
And, yeah.
Yeah. We've each got our own overhead projectors at home.
Yep. For anyone born after the year 2000, that's kind of like
projector. Wow,
it's kind of like if you had like a flashlight and you made hand signals in front of it.
Yeah, exactly.
From the 2-5, did you guys ever have to write on an overhead projector
with the,
in high school?
Vis-a-vis marker.
Yeah. And they'd be like, okay, you have to come up and do. I loved doing it.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Look at my payment shift.
From the 2-5-3, bump. Titleist,
yeah,
or TaylorMade driver.
I've had TaylorMade clubs my whole golfing career, and I just switched over to Titleist. Just did. Yeah. But I prefer TaylorMade. I got Titleist because I was in a pinch, got my club stolen, needed some clubs before a tournament, so I just bought those.
Oh, from the 415, my wife's a big fan. A lot of people fan of the spoon route.
Spoon route.
Spoon route's a big, everyone loves the spoon route,
There's
man.
There's the big spoon route in the
little what's funny? Ken Walker did kind of like a little spoon route in that game. It's basically, it's like 80 yards and you pick up like 15. It's cool. It's you need a lot of speed, a lot of elite talent.
Oh, okay. Stacy 360.
Yeah, we can include bump in this one.
Maybe the most impossible question to answer on this show. What's more important?
Okay.
Clout or securing the bag? Wow.
Oof.
I think
securing the bag.
Using your clout to secure the bag.
No, but you have to choose one or the other. So let's assume that you have a lot of clout, but you have not secured the bag. And in the other case, you have secured
the bag.
I could live after securing the bag.
Yeah, once you secure the bag, clout doesn't matter.
I don't care about clout. I've secured the bag. Bump, what about you?
Bag all day.
Exactly. See, Bump didn't even hesitate. He's like,
kids.
I don't need clout. I don't need clout at all. Let's see what I need to know. Bump. Oh, after Bump's trip to LA, is it still Dick's Burgers over In-N-Out? You went down there for Pac-12 coverage. Did you end up getting In-N-Out, first of all?
I did.
Okay, and what was your final ruling?
I got to ride with Cali, man.
Dare,
I can't.
I knew that you would do that.
I got to ride with him. I was, it was delicious.
Bump, you get a lot of golf questions every time we do this. Bump, from the 425, what's the most underrated course in the Puget Sound area?
White Horse. Got to get on a ferry over there to Kingston. And they have those golf carts you can ride. They're not really golf carts. They're like boards, skateboards, electronic skateboards you can ride as a golf cart. White Horse.
What I need to know from Charlie and Breer. Seahawks are going to beat the Lions and never trail. How will you celebrate after the victory? That's a bold take. That's a good one. We're early for Bold Take Friday.
Shots and cigars.
Yeah. I've never smoked a cigar.
Really?
My understanding is you don't inhale.
You
just kind of like breathe on it. I don't understand.
Yeah. It still gets in your system. You just don't inhale it.
So you just kind of.
You just.
Have it?
You just. I don't want to. Yeah. Yeah. Just don't inhale it.
Let's see. What I need to know, why do fries taste better when they come from the bottom of a takeout bag?
Because you think the journey's over. You're like, I got some more.
Yes. Last one here. Bump, since we're talking so much golf, challenge you to a long drive contest?
Let's get it. Catch me in the summertime and get that extra roll. I'll put it out there like 315.
Oh, 253. Bump, ever shot a 77?
You know, last time
I knew that
I
we would
did.
End it with this. I'm going to go ahead and wrap. We're going to wrap. Curtis, if you...
Get that's, the hips
I'm counting.
All
it's
the
an
way
E2.
Through,
I'm taking it as an E2.
Release the hands.
That has been the end of Bump and Stacy. We're not going anywhere. Scott Service is joining us next for the Scott Service Show, and we are beginning the dugout every single Tuesday from 1 to 2. It's all Mariners. Don't go anywhere.